think about how many times you have to make the best of a situation that you find yourself in. I want to share a message today about making the best of reality. And I know some folks have a little hard time getting in touch with reality. I'm going to help us a little bit today along those lines. But nevertheless, we're going to look at the thought about making the best of reality. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm just going to use one verse, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Paul writes and he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Beloved, wouldn't it be just wonderful if everything just went like it was supposed to? That everything would just work on schedule and go just real smoothly. How much more enjoyable you think life would be, wouldn't it? You at least think it would. Well, we know that life is not organized that way, don't we? If you don't know it, you will know it sometime soon. Now, most of us, if not all of us adults, probably know what Murphy's Law is. You've heard people mention Murphy's Law. If anything will go wrong, it will. So most of us have already come to understand that. By our own experience of life, we know that many times things do go wrong, and we do know they happen to us. We encounter all kinds of experiences in our lives as adults. Now, sometimes we have sudden illnesses come upon us. Sometimes we have sudden injuries to happen to us. Sometimes we have unexpected car problems. Sometimes we have more months than we have money. Sometimes we have unexpected visitors to come to our home. The list could just go on and on and on and on. We just meet all kinds of situations in our lives, don't we? Every single one of us do that. We know that we do. So I hope we're learning to make the best of whatever situation that we face and everything that we encounter in our lives. These things are realities, are they not? I mean, when you have car trouble, it's a reality. When your money runs out before the month does, and that's reality too. All these things are realities. Well, have we learned yet to make the best of the realities we face in life? I don't know that we have, but probably none of us here today met all the realities that the Apostle Paul met in his life. We could just list a long list of things that happened to the Apostle Paul. And Paul, at one occasion in his life, got down to the very lowest point, and he didn't even know for sure if he was going to make it out alive or not. I want you to listen to Paul. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 8 through verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Here's Paul's writing. Here's what he says. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." Paul, the great apostle, one of the greatest men of all history, who loved the Lord and trusted the Lord and followed the Lord and did God's will, he came to a point in his life when the realities of life were just so great and the burdens were just so much on his life that he didn't even know if he was going to make it or not. You ever been there? Maybe some of us have, maybe some of us haven't. Nonetheless, we know their realities, aren't we? Aren't they? And you know that God brought Paul through. Paul testifies later on in his life how God stood by him through all the things that he faced in his life. If you really serve God today, and you really live for the Lord Jesus and serve Him the best of your ability with the help of the Spirit of God, listen, I can promise you, you're going to have many burdens. And you're going to have a lot of battles. But thank God you're going to have some blessings too to go along with it. But these realities are very much real to us, aren't they? Sometimes as Christians serving the Lord, we have disappointments. We have discouragement sometimes along the way. But we know from our own experience that the realities of life are real, and we need to learn to make the best of them. How do you deal with these things when they come into your life? I wonder sometimes how people deal with life who don't know the Lord. It seems like they just close their eyes to reality. And beloved, if you close your eyes to reality, you can't see where you're going, and you're going to run into something pretty soon. So people can't just close their eyes to the realities of life and pretend they're not there or pretend they didn't happen. They did happen, and they do happen to us, and they are real, and we need to learn how to deal with them, don't we? So that's where I got my title, Making the Best of Reality. Paul made the best of it with the Lord's help. Do you think it's possible today that each of us can make the best of the realities that we face? Can that be true in our lives today? Is it possible today? Sure it is. But listen, we all would have to admit, wouldn't we, that we need some help in these areas. We need sometimes a little refresher course, don't we, along the way. We too can have success in our lives as Paul did, but we need to do it like Paul did, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And there's where the making the best of realities will come in our lives. And Paul shares some things here from this verse. I want to share with you three realities in our lives, three things we need to face every day. And we do face them quite often, maybe not every day, but pretty much, you know, throughout a course of life. And I need some insight here. Do you think you need some help here? Do you need some insight here? Don't we all need some refreshing from time to time? Well, allow Paul to share with us from his pen, as the Holy Spirit moves upon him and as the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word today. There's three things he shares here I want to share with us today. Three realities that we can make the best of. First of all is the reality of conflict. Expect it. Conflict in your life. Just expect it. Why would you say that, Pastor? Well, if you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed why I'm going to say what I say. We are having conflict because it goes all the way back to the beginning.
That's right.
Even before Adam and Eve.
Yep.
It goes back to the beginning when Satan rebelled against God the Father. And he convinced a third of heaven's angels to follow him and rebel against the Lord. And God, you might say, just kicked him out, and all his followers kicked him out of heaven. And he's been at conflict with God ever since that day. And he uses those same angels and his associates, I'll say, demons too sometimes. He uses all these at his disposal to continue to attack God today. But he does it today mostly through God's people. Doesn't he? Now listen, just go back and think about some attacks of Satan. Start with Adam and Eve. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how the devil attacked Eve. Come right on down from there, and you think about the old prophet Job, how he was relentlessly persecuted and attacked by Satan, lost everything he had. Come on down the line, you think about all the troubles that Satan caused for all the children of Israel during all the course of history to this point in time in life. All the troubles he's caused them. And think about all the troubles and the work he caused Paul in Paul's travels and Paul's working for the Lord. Just think about some things. You could just go on and on and on. You could even use Jesus as himself as an example. The devil tempted Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. So you see, if he attacked Eve right on down to our Lord Jesus, he'll attack you. And he'll attack me. And he uses us to get back at God. He's still at conflict. And this conflict that we're in is going to go on and on and on. It's never going to stop until the day Satan himself and all his angels and demons and all those who follow him will be cast alive in the lake of fire that burns forever and forever and forever. So don't expect it to end. It's not going to end. Maybe we don't even expect conflict up to now, but maybe you know now that you're going to have conflict. It continues today. He attacks God through the church. If he can stir up trouble in a church, that's one of his greatest joys. is to get God's people divided on whatever issue it may be. Nothing is worth being divided on. Unless it's doctrine, of course, but nonetheless. Satan will attack the church. He attacks families, as I've never seen families attacked in all my years of living. I've never seen the family under attack as it is today. The conflict in families, the conflict in churches, and the conflict in individual lives, in your life and in my life. Don't think you're going to be exempt. If he attacked Eve and Job and Paul and Jesus, don't think he's overlooked you. Conflict is going to come. Conflict from the devil can work, and it will work, even through believers, individual Christians. I don't believe in all my life, and I'm making statements kind of maybe a little bit off color, but nonetheless, I've never had problems, I believe, in the world, conflict with people in the world like I have at points and times with people in the church. Now, beloved, these things ought not be. But I know that they are. I know that they're real. I know that they happen. I know they've happened to me. And I'm sure you'd have to agree that they've happened to you. The next time you come into conflict with Satan, or whatever that matter may be, don't think like this. Don't always go straight to the negative side, which we do about 95% of the time. Don't think, well, God's abandoned me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. God doesn't understand. God's not with me. Don't think that way. It might just be the complete opposite of what you're thinking. It might just be Satan's attacking you when he does, because you are doing what God wants you to do. You are living like God wants you to live. You're serving God like you're supposed to serve. And the way you live may be interfering with and hindering the plans that Satan has, and thereby he'll do anything he can and use anyone he can to silence you. So you see, conflict is a reality, isn't it? Just learn to expect it. Jesus said, they persecuted me. They hated him. They rejected him. And don't think that the servant is going to be any different than his Lord. They'll hate you. The Satan will persecute you, reject you, and hurt you. And anything he can, the Bible says, the thief, the devil, only comes to do two or three things. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's all he wants to do in your life. That's why he brings conflict. So that's a reality. Expect it. Second thing Paul talks about here is a conquest. There's going to be a war always going on in your life between good and evil, between God and Satan, between you and the devil himself, or one of his associates. Now, in verse 16 here, just a couple of verses down from where I read, Paul says this, "To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life." And look at the question he asks, "And who is sufficient for these things?" If you'll back up to our scripture verse in verse 14, you'll find the answer he gives to what he asks in verse 16. Verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Paul says, so who's sufficient for these things? To deal with these realities of life? Then, of course, the Lord is. Paul uses the word in verse 14, triumph. You see that word in verse 14? "Now thanks be to God, unto God, which always causes us to triumph." These Corinthian hearers understood what Paul meant when he used the word here, the word triumph. Now, when conflicts come, conquests come, we need to learn to conquer them. Expect the conflict, conquer the conquest. Here Paul talks about it here. The word triumph here is very important because the Corinthians knew something that we probably didn't know. We had no idea about this, but let me just share it with you. When he used the word triumph here, the Corinthians knew he was talking about a reality in that day of what they call the Roman triumph. Now, what is that? the Roman triumph. Well, here it is. When a commander-in-chief of some of the Roman armies would go out into a battle somewhere, and he'd have a resounding victory. He conquered the enemy. So he comes back to Rome, and he's welcomed with a Roman triumph parade. Now, that was one of the greatest events of all history in that day, was the Roman triumph parade. But there were some requirements for that commander-in-chief of that army to receive that Roman triumph parade. Here's what they were. To have him have that parade in his honor, he would have had to have killed 5,000 or more of the enemy. They had to be slain. And then he had to bring back alive a number of the enemy's officers or leaders alive. And then he would come back and he would come down to Rome, bring all his spoils of war back, and he would be greeted with the Roman triumphant parade. Here's the way it went. The commander-in-chief of that Roman battalion, whoever it might have been, he would lead the parade riding in a golden chariot. And right behind the commander-in-chief would be his officers, and many of them would bring, to show off to Rome, they would bring spoils of war in this parade to show off what the victories of war would have been for the Roman country. And right behind his Roman officers would be the Roman priests. They were also in this parade, and they would be burning incense unto the Roman gods that they worshipped. And behind them then would be the enemies that were captured alive, and they'd be marched along in behind of the rest of this parade. And what a horrible fate these captured enemy was going to face. They would march them in a holding area and then bring some of them each at a time into the Roman arena. And for the pleasure and entertainment of the Roman citizens, they'd put some of these captured soldiers in this arena, and they'd open the gates and turn loose the wild lions on these men. And Roman citizens would shout and rave like they do at ball games today, hoop and holler, when these lions would tear apart these men limb from limb. That was a Roman triumphant parade. Now, listen, Paul used this, and the Corinthians knew exactly what he was talking about. Paul used this as an illustration of the great conquest that Jesus faces and the great conquering that one day he's going to march forth riding on the white horse, the Bible says, and he'll be victorious over all living and all dead for all time and forever and forever and forever. Well, if you know conflict's coming, expect it. If you know there's a conquest out there, you must learn to conquer it. One day, our Lord's going to make a display. He already has, in fact, on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says He made a display, showing openly His victory over Satan, all the angels and demons and all people of lost world, of the whole lost world. He made a show of them openly when He died on the cross. And we will have victory today because, listen, because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When John stood at his writing in Revelation, he stood in heaven, and there was a great book, sealed book that nobody could open. And the book was handed to Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, it says something like this, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the seals of the book. So you see his death on the cross was the ultimate victory. And there'll be a great, glorious, spiritual victory parade one day, and our Lord Himself will lead it. Because of His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension back into heaven, and His glorious coming one day, and His glorious appearing. That's why Paul could write in another place, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lion of the tribe of Judah." How do you face a conquest today and conquer it? You do it through the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. It's a reality. Conflicts here. Our conquests are out there. We need to conquer them, but we can only conquer them through the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit. Now, Paul talked about a third thing here. We all need to hear this really intensely. The reality of our confidence. Now, we know that conflict comes expected. We know the conquest is out there, but we've got it conquered already. But what about the confidence? We need to realize it, don't we? We need to realize the confidence. Now listen, we know we can have confidence in Christ. Why? Because He's already won the victory on the cross. He's not only won a battle, He's won the war. And He gives us the victory. Now, I know the world looks at the cross as just a great defeat of a good man. They don't care about the cross. They don't care about Jesus. But the cross means everything to me. It means everything to you who believe. To all of us who know the Lord, it's the greatest ultimate victory that's ever been in the history of mankind. On the cross is where Jesus ultimately defeated forever our enemy. Now listen, remember the next time the enemy attacks you, don't put your confidence in yourself. We have proved to ourselves, have we not, that we cannot put confidence in ourselves. Amen? Can't. Because the Bible teaches me also that the armor of flesh is going to fail me every single time. Not most of the time, all the time it's going to fail us. But if you put your confidence and realize your confidence in the Lord Jesus, you'll never be defeated. Never. And He gives us the very tools that we need to place our confidence in Him. It's through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And He gives us a shield of faith to go along with it. So you see, if you got your confidence in anything or anyone except the Lord, you're in trouble. But you put your confidence in Him, then you're always going to come out the victor. So the next time a conflict comes up, put your confidence in the Lord. The next time you face a conquest of whatever it may be in your life, whatever reality it is, put your confidence in the Lord. And every time you have a confidence question, who do I trust? You always trust the Lord. Why? He's never lost a battle. He's won the war already. Why would you not put your confidence in Him? Why would you not trust Him fully with your life and everything about your life? So really, we don't just have to make the best of reality. When these things come into our lives, these conflicts, these conquests, and our confidence level, when it comes into our life personally, you can look upon them and you can say, the best is yet to come. It is. I'm not just making the best of reality. My best is yet to come. And His name is Jesus. So, if you're struggling today, listen to me carefully. If you're struggling with life today, maybe you're in a conflict or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. You just don't expect it. So, well, preacher, I don't need to expect it. It's here. What do I do? It's a conquest I'm facing. It's a battle. It's a war. You can conquer it through the blood of the Lamb. But only by the Word, through the Spirit, and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you learn to trust Him. When the conflict comes, trust Him. When the conquest comes, trust Him. When you consider your confidence, where do you put your confidence? Trust Him. But to do that, you first get to trust Him with your life and your soul. You must give your heart and life to Jesus, repent of your sins, and invite Him to come in. And as He comes in, He gives us then the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil, who will relentlessly attack you, and he will persecute you and hurt you and cause you to have heartbreaks such as you may have never known before. But listen, the best is yet to come. So how you deal with the best of realities, you just turn it over to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Let's bow together and pray. Lord Jesus, in this hour this morning, We know, Lord, the realities of life that Paul wrote about. Lord, they're all true to us. We've all had conflicts. We'll have them in the future too. There'll be conquests that are out there that we have to face. Sometimes they seem like, Paul, they're going to overwhelm us and we're never going to make it. Sometimes we're so heartbroken and hurt that we feel like that there's just no recovery to it. And our confidence level, Lord, is so low many times. And we've tried and tried and tried, yet, Lord, we've ceased to trust. We need to trust you today. Someone may be here today needs to trust you as Lord and Savior. If they do, Lord, may they come today and put their confidence in you and not in themselves. Maybe there's someone that's fighting a battle, whatever it may be in their life, a conflict, a conquest, a war going on, raging in their life today. And they don't seem to see any victory for themselves. Help them to know that Paul said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. They may need that victory today. And it's there, Lord, for them if they'll come and trust you. So we ask you in this invitation, Lord Jesus, that we'll learn to understand that indeed for us who know you, the best is yet to come. And we'll be a part of that grand parade one day. Our Lord Jesus will lead, and we as his followers will follow him in a glorious heavenly display of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.